want to greet all of you this morning in Jesus' precious name. Glad to be here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, your guidance to us, Father. We just ask, Lord, that you would help us, Father, to seek your will, that you would help us look into your word, Father, and learn of you, Lord, that we might gain wisdom, Father, from above. Lord, we just again thank you. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. We just sang Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse. In the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words. Verse 23, Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. God, His Spirit is crying in the streets. He's speaking to us, trying to teach us, and trying to show us a better way. Titus, we talked about in chapter 2 that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live righteously and soberly and godly in this present world. And then in James chapter 1, begin in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you had a list of the things that you want in this life, and you want out of this life, what would be the top of that list? If you could have whatever you want, what do you want? Just imagine. Let your mind, what do you want? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Maybe you want a new truck. You're thinking about, wow, if I could have a wish, what would I want? If I could just have anything, oh, a nice farm, a nice house on it. Maybe have a nice wife or a nice husband and a nice family. Maybe you want something even a little lower than that. Maybe you just want some new toy to play with. Maybe you just want a new cell phone. Maybe that's what you thought. Maybe you think, boy, I'd like to have a nice computer, or maybe a new horse or something. Maybe if I just had a new saddle. What's on your list? What did you think of when I say if you could have whatever you want? Think about it. What is it you find yourself longing for whenever you're daydreaming about something? What do you want? You know what ought to be at the top of your list? King Solomon was made the king of Israel. And God just basically told him, you just ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. He offered sacrifices. And he went and prayed. You know what he asked for in his prayer? Wisdom. Wisdom to do God's will. You know what ought to be at the top of every one of our lists? What is God trying to give us? Wisdom. He's trying to give us wisdom. That ought to be the top thing that you think of. Lord, give me wisdom. Is it something you got to beg for? Does God say, if you beg me for wisdom long enough, I might share a little bit of it with you? No, He don't. Ask, and I'll give it to you liberally. I'll freely give you all you want of it if you'll but ask. How often before we make a decision, you know, people pray about something. I hear that. I'm so sick of that. Oh, I'll pray about it. Every time I hear somebody say something like that, whenever there's a decision to be made, they'll pray about that decision. Forget about that. Ask the Lord for wisdom. Lord, I need wisdom. Help me make the choices I need to make in my life. Guide me the way you want me to go. Oftentimes when people pray and say, well, I'll pray about it. A lot of times they just wind up with the wrong decision. They'd ask for wisdom. Lord, guide us. Give us wisdom. Not find a loophole. That's what most people are asking whenever they say, I'll pray about it. Well, I see what's right in front of me. I see what the Bible says, but we'll pray about it. See. You're going about backwards. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to men liberally. And he doesn't complain about it one bit. He's not going to scold you for asking for wisdom. He's not going to upbraid you. Not going to rebuke you or argue with you. He's going to give it to you. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Goes on and talks about a double-minded man. Man that's driven to and fro. That man that's just looking for the right situation. Ask God for wisdom. What is wisdom going to teach us? Wisdom's crying in the street, waiting for someone to hear it. We're off daydreaming about something else. This song we sang is just pretty neat how things fall together. Someone called this out. Young men, in all your revelry, revelry, just having a good time. Young men, and all you're just having a good time, enjoying your youth. Young ladies, proud and thoughtless. Proud and thoughtless. Boy, how often you see that when children are left to themselves and unrestrained, what happens? Young people, the young men grow up wanting to have a party, wanting to have a good time. The young ladies think they're real pretty and are thoughtless. don't even think. Proud and thoughtless. Will you be saved eternally? There's wisdom. Gives you something to think about. Or die forever hopeless? What are you thinking about? Toward hell you hasten to in conceit, you plunge in sin's perdition. Yet wisdom crieth upon the streets, in God there is redemption. Praise the Lord. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It's not just for young people. Do you want wisdom? You fathers and mothers, you're training up children. Do you ask for wisdom? How to handle each situation? Whenever you come up to a problem with your children, is your goal just to fix the situation? Or is your goal to instill some wisdom in the child? The Bible says, train up a child in the way it should go, and when it is old, it will not apart from it. I've said often that child training first begins with adult training. If you don't have enough courage and enough wisdom yourself, how are you going to pass that along to your children? It takes discipline. Children really are pretty easy to train. Problem is the parents. The parents being diligent in training. God has given you children. Train them the way they should go. There's so many things that are so easy to fall into. I have hard to think about this, just to be able to train someone. Often we have to just be honest enough with ourselves to first seek that wisdom and apply it to our own lives. I want to be a better man. I want to be a better man. Do you want to be a better man? A better woman? A better wife? A better son, a better daughter? Do you want to be better? We need to train ourselves. To be better. Find out what's wrong and correct it now. Many of the habits or the things that we do in our lives reflect on how we were trained and how we were brought up. And it's a lot easier to catch those things whenever they're in a child than it is when you're an adult. The deeper the groove or the rut that you've traveled in, the deeper it gets and the harder it is to climb out of. Whenever we're feeding cattle and working in the mud, and you just drive the same path every day, you begin to make ruts. And all winter long, those ruts get deeper and deeper and deeper. Then it freezes. And you get in that rut and you try to turn out of it, it's almost impossible. But whenever you first make that first path through there, you can just steer out of it easily. But as you continually go down that same path every day, the rut gets deeper and deeper and deeper. You know, whenever we're training children, and we train them to act like a little fool, and then we laugh at them. You know what we're training them to do? We're training them to grow up to be a clown because they love that attention. We spend the first 2 or 3 years of their life laughing at them because they're doing something stupid. And then we spend the next 16 years that they're, or 16 or 20, whatever it is, left under our care, trying to take that stupidness out of them. And wonder why they're so foolish. Wonder why they always causing trouble and trying to get attention. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. We don't have to train them to be foolish, yet we encourage it. We need to drive it from them when they're little. A lot of the time, it's just little things like that. Ask God for wisdom with your child. What are you training them? How are you training them when they're little? Are you training them to follow? Are you training them to be careful? How are you training them? Are you training them to be a little monkey? The Bible says, Timothy, that we ought to. And Titus says that we ought to teach children, teach young men to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. That doesn't mean, oh, never laugh. Be solid, sober, or be just what we would consider just serious all the time. But it does mean that we ought to think about reality. That ought to be to be sober, to be serious enough, considering our situation. We're trying to train children. We don't have to train them to be children. We're trying to train them to be adults. They have enough free time of their own to be children. We need to be working on them whenever we have the opportunity to train them to be adults. To grow them up. Not only just keep throwing food in front of them so they get big and tall. We don't feed them baby food. We get them to where they eat so that they'll grow and move on up to adulthood. That's the way we ought to be feeding them whenever we're feeding their minds. I don't think we ought to have a different language to speak to babies. If we want them to talk properly, we need to talk properly to them. We need to show them how to do something. Show them how to learn. We try to improve their situation. When we ought to teach them how to deal with hardships. That's what makes people strong. That's what builds their character. You don't build character without some tribulation. You think Job came out of his tribulation a better man or worse? He came out of it a better man. It was hard to go through it. Training children ought to be hard on them. It's life. Whenever we have them so sheltered, protect them from anything difficult. We're not helping them at all. That's why the only thing they can start doing when they get older, when they get out and wind up going through all their schooling that the world teaches them is going to just solve all their problems. They get all their education and it's just going to solve all their problems. Then they kick out into the real world and they hit life. All they can do is whine and cry. It's no wonder they turn to drugs or alcohol or some bad habit. It's no wonder they fall into lust. Had it handed to them all their life. And when they have to face reality, they can't face it. This idea that the world teaches that there's no real losers, there's no losers, and they give everybody a ribbon, whether they have a passing score or not, they pass them all because they don't want them to feel bad. All you're doing is training them. There's consequences. There's struggles. There's hard times. The trying of your faith works patience. No, you don't make a knife sharp by keeping it wrapped in a little cotton box. You sharpen a knife when you take the edge of it and grind it up against an old hard rock. And it bites into that metal and tears little pieces off of it. Makes it sharp. What are we trying to train them for? So they can live in a little cotton box all their life? Useful. Be able to cope. Face your problems. Face your problems. Face your angers. Listen to that wisdom that God is trying to tell you. Something that you give these boys Bible verses and two of them picked the same one and the other one picked one that was just the same thing. Meant the same thing. blessing. That's wisdom. Crying out, here's your problem. Here's one of your main problems. Learn how to deal with it. You know how you're going to learn how to deal with it? Your brother's probably going to be twice as ornery to you now. You know how to deal with it? When someone says something about you, you're going to hear it more. You can run away like a little sissy. Or you can deal with it. You can learn how to give that soft answer. You can learn how to control that spirit. Man that can control his spirit is like a man who can control a city. Learn that wisdom now when you're young. You need some of that temper, but let it make you strong. Control it. Turn it to make you a better man. Thought about it, you know, a lot of times we're pretty easy to confess. Oh, I'm kind of proud. We kind of hang our head and act real humble. We say, I'm sorry, I was proud. Or I'm sorry. I'm just no good. And we can say that about ourselves. But you let somebody else jump up and say it against you and we'll see what happens. Yeah, you're proud. You're no good. Boy, you sure didn't handle that good. That was dumb. That didn't work out, did it? That's how you tell whether there's anything there or not. Whenever others say it against you, and you can accept it with meekness. And respond in kindness. I've heard men say whenever you tell them something, and they say, well, they're a better man than I am. They're a better man than I am. But what if the other man said, I'm a better man than you are? How would you accept it then? Nothing wrong with saying, yes, he's a better man than I am, and I want to learn from him. But how do you respond when they say it? I'm a better man than you are, and you ought to learn from me. We don't want to hear that, do we? Look into the Word of God. Man that won't look to something higher than himself will soon be a servant to something lower than himself. Look to the Word of God. Not to just be able to spout off doctrine or answer questions. If you'll let the Word of God make you a better person, you'll have answers to questions. If you let the Word of God shape your life, you'll have the answers to questions, and you'll be able to say it with authority. That'll leave them with their mouths hanging wide open. That's the difference between just studying to improve your situation. And studying to be a better man. Whenever you pick up the Bible, do you read it just because you have to? Do you read it because you want to learn more? Or do you read it to let it improve you? Let's learn to be better. Let's ask God for wisdom. Let's ask God for patience. You know, I've been taught all my life, don't ask for patience. God will give you trouble. Well, that's exactly why He's given it to you. So you'll get some patience. And you ought to want it. You want to be long-suffering? Get ready for somebody to aggravate you or to be trouble to you. You want to learn how to be kind? Get ready for someone to be unkind to you so you can learn to be kind. What's wrong with that? Are we trying just to improve our situation, or are we trying to be better men, better women, better children? That's what's wrong with this world. They're trying to work on their situation. They're trying to fix things through the government. Fix things through education. They're trying to fix everything instead of making people better men. You're not going to fix anything until people become better people. The church isn't going to fix anything until the church has people in it that are determined to be better people. Better humans. Better servants. Train your children. Be honest, faithful, dependable. Train yourself to be faithful, honest, dependable, kind, gentle, meek. Verse 3, in James it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Look at how that all ties together. You want wisdom? You're going to have to go through some situations where you don't know what to do. That's pretty uncomfortable, isn't it? You want patience? You're going to have to learn to be under trial for a while. You want to grow fruit in your life? We look at fruit just the way most people were taught. Fruit's just like pretend faith. You have it and God will just start growing it. That ain't the way it works. God grows his fruit just like you would grow fruit in a garden. It gets tilled. It gets manure slung on it. It gets wet on. It gets tore up and the seed put in it. It starts to grow and it might get pruned. It gets some more manure thrown on it. It gets some more water. And it stands out in the hot sun. It gets all the area around it all tore up once in a while to keep the weeds from growing. Then it can grow some fruit. And that's the way it's going to happen in your life. There's a price tag for it. But it's what you ought to be seeking after. make you a better man. It'll make you a better woman. It'll make you a better young man and a better young woman. What does all that other stuff matter? What does all of it matter? If we can't leave here a better person. That ought to be our goal every day. Is to wake up with a desire to be a better man today than I was yesterday. Or a better mother. Or a better father. Every day. Than I was yesterday. Anyone have anything they would like to add to that or have a testimony?
Accepting something. not that those people, I mean, my goal wasn't to offend anybody over there. They told me I'm a teacher, and I'm supposed to tell them what's totally right, you know. And as men, we need to be willing to hear what's wrong. And we have to be sure we're doing that for our boys, and not be thinking for God as well. So, well, I just need to be sensitive, and that we don't want to. So. We just don't want them to think they don't love us. That's life now. And it doesn't give us, we don't train because we learn kids, we don't love. And it's tedious. And it takes time.
Knowledge puffeth up.
I
dismissed. Be back here this evening at 6:30, Lord willing. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us, Lord. We just ask your blessing upon us. Help us have wisdom that we can go from here and be more faithful to you, Lord. To be better men, better women, better men of God, better witnesses in our lives. Just ask you to go with us in Jesus' name.